The author who shares this story says that God has a way of allowing us to be at the right place at the right time. He says, I was walking down a dimly lit street late one evening when I heard muffled screams coming from behind a clump of bushes. Alarmed, I slowed down to listen and panicked when I realized that what I was hearing were the unmistakable sounds of a struggle, heavy grunting, frantic scuffling, tearing of fabric. Only yards from where I stood, a woman was being attacked. Should I get involved? I was frightened for my own safety and cursed myself for having suddenly decided to take a new route home that night. What if I became another statistic? Shouldn't I just run to the nearest phone and call the police? Although it seemed an eternity, the deliberations in my head had taken only seconds, but already the girl's cries were growing weaker. I knew I had to act fast. How could I walk away from this? No, I finally resolved. I could not turn my back on the fate of this unknown woman, even if it meant risking my own life. The author says, I'm not a brave man, nor am I athletic. I don't know where I found the moral courage and physical strength, but once I had finally resolved to help the girl, I became strangely transformed. I ran behind the bushes and pulled the assailant off of the woman. Grappling, we fell to the ground where we wrestled for a few minutes until the attacker jumped up and escaped. Panting hard, I scrambled upright and approached the girl who had crouched behind a tree, sobbing. In the darkness, I could barely see her outline, but I could certainly sense her trembling, shock, and fear. Not wanting to frighten her further, I at first spoke to her from a distance. It's okay, I said soothingly. The man ran away. You're safe now. There was a long pause, and then I heard the words uttered in wonder, in amazement. Dad, is that you? And then from behind the tree out stepped my youngest daughter, Catherine. It has been said that the will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you. You see, this man and loving father was the right person, in the right place, at just the right time. Have you ever wondered that about yourself? Ever wondered if you were the chosen person to be at a certain place at just the right time to pursue and then succeed in doing God's will? Solomon said in Proverbs 20:24, he says, since the Lord is directing your steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? In essence, and regarding our own lives, getting it may not be as important as getting there, the very place that God has called his chosen people to be at the very time that we are called to be there. Julie A. Manhan shares this neat and interesting story. She says, there was once a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed his suitcase with cupcakes, several cans of root beer, and started on his journey. When he had gone about 3 blocks, he saw an elderly woman. She was sitting on a park bench watching the pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his root beer when he noticed the lady looked hungry, so he offered her a cupcake. She gratefully accepted and smiled at him. Her smile was so wonderful that he wanted to see it again, so he offered her a root beer as well. Once again, she smiled at him. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and smiling without ever saying a word. As it began to grow dark, the boy realized how tired he was and he wanted to go home. He got up to leave, but before he had gone no more than a few steps, he turned around and ran back to the old woman, giving her a big hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy arrived home, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked, "What has made you so happy today?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." Before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile in the whole world." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face. He asked, "Mother, what has made you so happy today?" And she replied, "I ate cupcakes in the park with God today." And before her son could reply, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." Manhan says, too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Manahan concludes by saying, people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, end quote. But make no mistake about it. It is God who chooses these people, the place, and that time for them to be there. Now, have we allowed God to do this? Have we said, God, I want your will, not mine? God, I'm going to allow you to choose the right place at the right time because I think I just might be the right person to accomplish your will and purpose according to Jesus. I wonder if we have allowed him to do this. J. Hudson Taylor once said this. He says, I'm no longer anxious about anything as I realize the Lord is able to carry out his will and his will is mine. It makes no matter where he places me or how. Taylor says, that is rather for him to consider than for me. For in the greatest positions, he must give me the grace, and in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. His will versus our will. Have you ever considered that maybe our will and his will don't match? You ever considered that maybe our will is oftentimes superseded or looked to be more important than God's will? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines this word will as a wishing, desiring, or choosing, especially in reference to the will of God. God's will is perfect. Our will, our self-will, some might call it free will, is not. And yet we tend to wield it a lot. In many cases we say this, God, I know better than you. God, I'm smarter than you. God, I know that I can make better plans than you. I can control my future and my choices better than you. So God, I don't really, at this point, need you. This becomes difficult. You see, Dr. S. Maxwell Coder once said this about that. He says, as we are constituted by nature, we prefer our own way. That's the very essence of sin, says Coder. Self-will keeps more people from enjoying the blessings of the God-planned life than any other factor, end quote. Is it any wonder why Jesus said in John 4, 34, he says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. In John 5, verse 30, he uses the words, for it is according to the will of God who sent me. John 6, 38, Jesus says, for I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to have my own way. You see, Jesus was always in the right place at just the right time, because he allowed his heavenly Father to guide and direct his life. Nowhere is this better seen than in Luke 22, 42. Many of us remember this passage because we remember that this is about to go down, where the crucifixion is about to take place, where he is going to experience some of the most inhumane treatment that anybody could ever imagine. And as he is praying, Jesus says, Father, if you are willing, root word will, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of horror away from me. Jesus could have done this. God could have done this. But God had a different plan for Jesus, because God knew that Jesus had to fulfill this plan. And Jesus says, but I want your will, not mine. Have we said that? With regards to our lives, have we said that? We said, God, I want your will, not mine. Jesus fully understood God's selection, direction, and protection that is offered to those who are yielded fully and faithfully to God. Are we? Are we? Do we trust God that has selected us, that he will actually direct us and ultimately protect us when we choose to trust and then execute his will? Do you believe that God has your best interests at heart if we are willing to give him our hearts? Do we believe this? You know, in Genesis chapters 37 through 50, we're introduced to a guy that's pretty famous, according to biblical standards, a guy you've heard of. His name is Joseph. Joseph was a man who was selected and directed and protected by God, even amidst awful and difficult circumstances. Yet after being disowned and devalued by his brothers, sold into slavery, jailed, and then forgotten about, God always had him in just the right place at just the right time. When he and his brothers were officially reunited and reacquainted, many of you might remember that his brothers sold him into slavery, never heard from him again, until a moment when they are finally reacquainted. When he and his brothers were finally reacquainted, even amidst their fear of retribution by their now successful brother Joseph, Joseph comforted their fearful hearts in Genesis 50:20 by saying these words. He says, God turned into good what you meant for evil, brothers. For he brought me, Joseph says, I'm the person, to this high position, and there's the place, that I have today at this time, so that I could save the lives of many people. That's what God did for Joseph. You see, because Joseph said, I'll do, God, what you want me to do, because he never strayed from God's will, Joseph was able to save the lives of many people, and especially the people that he cared about the most. He was reunited and reacquainted with his father and with his brothers because God knew that Joseph could do something great, that he could accomplish something great to help his people. Right person, right place, right time. Are we amenable to God's will? What will he do for us and through us? Comedian Jerry Seinfeld once said, my parents moved to Florida. They didn't want to, but they're in their 60s, and that's the law. There is no law in effect that I know of that governs our whereabouts at a specific time or place, but God does have a say about where we are to be and when we are to be there. God says in Isaiah 65:12, he says, for when I called you, you didn't answer. When I spoke to you, you didn't listen. The disobedient Israelites chose their own will, which separated them from God and led them to isolation. When we are not following God's will, oftentimes it doesn't end well. And many of you would say, I know, because I've been there. I've made decisions and choices with regards to job, school, spouse, whatever it is. By the way, if you made the bad choice with spouse, I'm sorry. Sorry. Many of you might say it's too late. The point is this. Oftentimes, we just don't consult with God. We don't ask God. We don't seek God. We don't look to God. We make our decisions based on our choices, which are all about our selfish will. And things just don't look too well. And this is a problem. Are we following his will? You know, Jonah's an interesting character because Jonah kind of learned this the hard way. You know, Jonah was the right person at just the right place and at just the right time. Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. Jonah doesn't like Nineveh. And so God had called Jonah to go and minister to Nineveh. In fact, God wanted Nineveh to change their ways. That was his will. But Jonah chose to follow his own will and go his own way. And for 3 days and three nights, Jonah was essentially fish food. That's what he was. Now, we have oftentimes done the same thing. Now, granted, you haven't ended up in the belly of a fish, but you have ended up in a dire circumstance because you've said this, I know better than you, God. I don't need to talk to you about this, God. I'll make my own decision, God. And we don't follow his will. Jonah's will did not match God's will. Quite oftentimes, ours doesn't either. And so what that means is that when you're faced with a work decision, what job are you supposed to have? Where are you supposed to work? What are you supposed to do? Oftentimes, people will say, I'm not going to ask God about it because I know what to do about it. We have a lady in our church that right now is looking at a major career change. Major career change. We get to hear about it on Wednesday nights. And the first thing, and I love this lady so much because one of the first things that she said is she said, I just want to do what God wants me to do. This has been her mantra. I want to do what God wants me to do. Now think about that. Because if that is the way you live your life, I can assure you that your life is going to be lived a whole lot better when you say, I want your will, God, not mine. I will not work where you don't want me to. I won't marry who you don't want me to. I will not attend a church where you don't want me to. I will not hang out with people that you don't want me to. This applies to every aspect of our lives. How yielded are we to God? Have we said, God, I don't want to make decisions anymore. I'm going to allow you to make the decisions, and I'm going to follow your will. Where are we at in our lives? In Numbers 13, we find the Israelites about ready to enter the promised land. They were God's chosen people. They're still God's chosen people. They were ready to inhabit God's chosen place, preparing to enter at just the right time until his plan and will were denounced by 10 willful, fearful, faithless spies. Their fate would be a lost and wandering people in a remote and desolate place for a long, long time. All they had to do was say, God, they look big and scary. I don't know that we can do this, but I know you can do this, and so we're going to trust in your will. But their self-will kicked in, and they said, we can't beat them. We can't live with them. We can't be a part of them, and so therefore, we're not going to go in there and do what you've called us to do. The end result, it didn't end well. Have we been there? Haven't we been there? Not doing well because we trusted in our own will, not consulting God, looking at a situation and saying, too big, too scary, God, can't happen. I can't accomplish this, God. You can't put me in this place, God, because I'm not capable of doing it, God. And God says, just trust me. I've got this. I am your God. Paul calls out the foolish, argumentative, quarrelsome, lost, and proud people who are living the wrong kind of lives in 2 Timothy 2:26. Paul longs for them to, quote, begin doing the will of God. You know what that means? He contrasts two points. He says, if you begin to do the will of God, you will no longer be foolish and argumentative and quarrelsome and lost and proud. Just do the will of God. Do we trust God's will to put us in the right place at the right time? Pastor Gary G. Kinley once said, David wanted to build a temple, but God wanted him to build a dynasty. Abraham and Sarah wanted to parent a child, but God wanted them to be parents of millions. Judas wanted Jesus to be a redeemer of Israel, but God wanted Jesus to be the redeemer of the world. The trouble with human vision is that it is usually too small. God's vision bursts into our world with holy rainbows and resurrection signs. Says Kinley, he wanted to be a doctor and save lives. God called him to be a pastor and save souls. She wanted to be an accountant for large corporations. God called her to account as a missionary to a foreign land. Kinley concludes, he says he wanted to soar with the birds as a pilot, and God piloted him to be an aviation missionary in the African Congo, end quote. Let us never forget the words offered by Jesus in what would be termed the perfect prayer. Matthew 6:10, Jesus says, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Can you utter those words? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not my will be done. Are we able to utter those words and stand by them and trust in them and live for them? I'm going to look at our sermon text for today, which is one verse. It's a memory verse. It's like the shortest verse we've ever had. But this is one of those that I'm going to have you check mark, underline, highlight, write down. Whatever you do in your Bibles, it's perfectly legal to write in your Bibles, by the way. But I want you to identify this, and here's why. Because you work with people, you go to school with people, you hang out with people that say this, I'm lost. Everything I do ends up being wrong. I'm always the wrong person in the wrong place. It's never the right time. And you can look at them and say, you know what you may want to do? You may want to read Ephesians 5:17. Just put that in your memory bank, Ephesians 5:17. Here's what it says. Paul says, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to. Now, I'm going to break this down because Paul essentially shows us three sections of a very short verse. Here we go. First part. Don't act thoughtlessly. You know what Paul is saying? Before you make a decision, before you do something, before you change direction, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be seeking and praying. Seeking and praying. That's their first step. Secondly, try to find out. You know what that means? That means that you are called to be seeking and asking. Seeking and asking. And finally, as we finish this off right here, he says, and do whatever the Lord wants you to. You know what that means? That means that you should be seeking, yielding, and doing. Seeking, yielding, and doing. Always looking for God. Always seeking God. Always wanting to do his will. But before anything, you will think and you will pray. And once you feel like that you've gotten to a point, at that point, you're going to start to ask and question. And once you get to that point, you will start yielding. And you'll start doing, and you'll trust God that he knows what he is doing. I remember one year I was at Eastern Illinois University. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I knew. I got there, didn't really know what I wanted to do. Thought I was going to be an English teacher. That was terrible. And I decided, I was like, you know what? And everybody told me this. I was in a church, and in my old church, this guy always used to call me Senator. That was my nickname. Hello, Senator. And so I thought, okay, maybe he's right. Maybe I should be a politician. And so I went into, I took a poli-sci class at Eastern Illinois University. It's my freshman year. Poli-sci, one poli-sci class, 2 days. Went in for 2 days. I was like, there is no way I'm ever going back to this class ever again. I'm never going to be a politician. Now, I didn't ask God about it. I just didn't like the class. I certainly didn't like the teacher, and I didn't like the curriculum. So I said, I'm not going to be a politician. But in all cases, looking back on this, how many times have we ever asked God, God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to do it? And God, will you be there to protect me when I go through it? Does God want us to do something special? We are his people. William Barclay once said this. He says, the most important thing in the world is to obey the will of God. The most important words in the world are, thy will be done. Do we constantly think about his will and then seek his will and then yield to his will so that we can do his will? You know, Philip saved a eunuch, Acts 8, 26 through 38, because he was in the right place at the right time. Holy Spirit moved him, put him in the right place to accomplish it. That was kind of a neat story. How about this one? I like this one. Acts 16, 25, Paul saved a family, a household. Because Paul was in the right place, you'll laugh, he was in jail. I don't think Paul really thought he was in the right place. I'm sure Paul thought, why am I in this place? I don't think he probably even liked that place. But he was in the right place at the right time to save a family, a household, who needed Paul at that perfect time. This is what God does. You see, perhaps God has saved you, and you're in this place at this time for a reason that God only knows. You see, I always oftentimes wonder how you all got here. I mean, think about this. I mean, we can go back a lot of years, and I can remember looking out and seeing nobody out here. We had 22 people at one time. That was one service. How did all of you people end up at Covell? You realize that today, folks, you ever question it? You realize today you're in the right place at the right time? You are the right people that God has called to be right here because it's right. And if today, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm not sure this is the right place, I'm not sure this is the right time, I'm not sure I'm the right person to be here, then I'm going to tell you this. Reconsider what you're doing here. Because every day you should be doing what God wants you to do, and it doesn't matter where you want to be. Rather, it's where God wants you to be. That is critical. Let me share a story real quick that was shared. Author says, next time your morning seems to be going wrong and children are slow getting dressed, you can't seem to find the car keys, you hit every traffic light. Don't get mad or frustrated. Praise God instead, because God is at work watching over you. After September 11th, 2001, I happened to call a man on business whom I didn't know and haven't nor will probably ever talk to again. But on this particular day, he felt like talking. He was the head of security for a company that had invited the remaining members of another company who had been decimated by the attack on the Twin Towers to share their office space. With his voice full of awe, he told me stories of why these people in his office were alive and their counterparts were dead. In the end, all the stories were just about the little things that happened to us. The head of the company got in late that day because his son started kindergarten. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. There were other stories that I hope and pray will someday be gathered and put in a book, the author says. The one that struck me was the man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning, took the various means to get to work, walking to the Twin Towers. But before he got there, he developed a blister on his foot. He stopped at a drugstore to buy a Band-Aid. That's why he's alive today. Now when I'm stuck in traffic, the author says, I miss an elevator, turn back to answer a ringing telephone. All the little things that annoy me. I think to myself, this is exactly where God wants me to be at this very moment. God's choosing, God's placing, and God's timing are always better than ours. Are we yielded fully to him? Are we aware of him? Do we just say, God, I want to be in your will. I'm going to live according to your will. I want to work where you want me to. I want to be with who you want me to. I want to worship where you want me to. And when it comes down to it, I will. God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4 of his book, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. We don't use the word consecration much. I don't think many of you walk around and tell people, you've been consecrated. So let's explain what that word means. That word means induction. It means to make. It means to choose to put in a particular situation to set apart for God's service. Today, all of you, whether you know it or not, you have been consecrated. Congratulations, didn't know that. You have been set apart to do the will of God. Now, if you say, Pastor, what is the will of God? What does he want me? I don't know what he wants you to do. I don't know, but he does. See, he knows what he wants you to do, and he will help you to do it as long as you say, God, I'm going to let you do it. But oftentimes, we get in the way. You see, this intimate knowledge and divine placement that our Lord provides is as evident today as it was in Jeremiah's day, and it shows us that we are most certainly part of God's plan, complete with perfect placement and tangible timing. So how does saved man mess up this great God-ordained, willful life plan? How does he do it? How do we end up being the wrong person in the wrong place, seemingly always at the wrong time? The answer is simple, and the answer is pride. It's pride, and it's always pride. Jesus gives us an example. It's a parable that we need to follow today. Luke 12, 16 through 20, Jesus says this. He says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. He couldn't get everything in. He thought about his problem and finally exclaimed, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough. And I'll sit back and say to myself, friends, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Wine, women, and song for you. But God said to him, fool, tonight you die. Then who will get it all? You see, this rich man, as this text teaches, did not think about God, never even sought God, didn't even consult with God to ever want to do the will of God. And the results were dire. You know, pride says, I know better than God. Pride says, I know that I'm the right person to be in this place at this time because I'm smarter than you, God. James 4, 13 through 17, James makes it very clear just how dangerous pride is. He says, look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a town, stay there a year, open up a profitable business. How do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? For the length of your lives is as uncertain as the morning fog. Now you see it, soon it is gone. What you ought to say is that the Lord wants us to, we shall live and do this or that. Otherwise, you'll be bragging about your own plans, and such self-confidence never pleases God. Remember, too, that knowing what is right to do and then not doing it is sin. I knew a guy that wanted to start a business. I knew him very well. And he came to me one day and he said, hey, this is what I'm going to build. And he had a dream. It was a vision. It was a pretty miraculous vision. And he said, I want you to come out and I want you to see what I'm going to do. And he said, it's going to be amazing. It'll be the biggest of its kind. Nobody else will be able to touch it. I know that this is going to provide for me riches that I never imagined. I went out, walked with him, toured the facility. He said, what do you think? I said, have you asked God about it? No answer. He said, have you consulted with God about it? Talked to God about it? No answer. In less than 10 years, that building and that business went bankrupt. And his family suffered greatly because it was never according to God's will. Never once. Cam reminded me as we were talking about this. This is what wives do, by the way, husbands. They remind you of things that you forget. And so as we were sharing this, she said, do you remember when you had a big career change? I haven't had many, but they were normally pretty big. And I said, I know exactly where you're going, but I did not remember this particular aspect of it. And I was getting ready to leave a radio job, a well-paying radio job, to go into another career. And I remember thinking, I remember going to her, being scared to death and thinking, she's going to kill me for wanting to do this. And I remember my wise wife, she said, you know what, before we do anything, before you say anything else, I think we need to fast, and I think we need to pray. And we did. Fasted and prayed. Thinking and praying, seeking and asking, yielding and doing. And we did it. And you want to know what? Some of the best years of my life. Those were the best years of my life. And no, it was not in the summer of 69, just to let you know. But I remember that decision. I remember my wife. I remember her being right by my side. I remember that. And I remember thinking, who better to fast with and pray with than my wife, because we're going to be partners in this. And I remember going to my good friend, and we were talking. I said, hey, I think we should do this. And he said, what do you think? And I said, I fast. I prayed about it. It seems right. And so I went to my friend and I said, hey, before we do anything, let's go to your church. He said, why is that? I said, well, your church is closer than my church. I don't think you would drive to my church. And I said, let's just go in and pray about it. And if it's right, it's right. And it was God's will. And it was right. You see, I realize that what we are called to do is to never be proud, but to trust in God to lead us to that place that He wants us to be. See, the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time is usually unhappy, unfulfilled, and unable to see that his or her life is filled with misunderstanding rather than blessing. They don't see God's handiwork. They just go to work. They don't appreciate their God-chosen spouse and family because they're just so focused selfishly. And they miss a godly relationship because they've never yielded to God's leadership. So they just go through life trudging along, wondering, am I the right person? Is this the right place? Because it feels like it's the wrong time. They miss the miracles of God's timing because they're always going through a perceived bad time. Everything is wrong because they thought they could do it better than God and make it right. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. We must yield our pride to God and give Him control to direct and lead our lives. I remember when I was younger, my parents weren't big amusement park fans. I was. I loved them. But my mom and dad would take us there unwillingly oftentimes. And I remember the first time, I remember what year it was, but I was young. I was really young. And I always had a fascination of driving. I always wanted to be older than I was. And so I always wanted to drive. Even when I was a little kid, I wanted to drive. And so I remember going to the amusement park, and at the amusement park, and most amusement parks have these. You remember the old cars? Remember the old cars that drive along? And so I remember seeing the old cars, and I thought, ooh, I want to drive one of those. And so I remember that my brother and I were in the cars. He was in with one parent. I was in with the other parent. There's probably pictures. I'm sure there's pictures of this. And so anyway, but I got in the car, and I remember I sat there, and I grabbed the wheel of that old steel car, and I remember holding that wheel and thinking, I'm driving. And I remember pushing that accelerator for the first time and feeling that car go, and that feeling of power and pride that I'm driving. Hey, look at me. I'm 7. I'm driving. And then I got older, and I realized that I really wasn't driving. You see, those rides had this huge metal bar right in the middle of the track the whole way around. And I always wondered why I kept banging that track and that bar. Bang, bang. And I remember when I pushed the accelerator thinking, hang on, Dad. It's not going that fast. Because the accelerator had a governor that controlled how fast I could go. You see, the amusement park was just looking out for me and every single other person that attended the amusement park because they knew I would have wrecked into a roller coaster. So here's what they did. They put a bar in the middle of the track, they put a governor on the accelerator, and they said, you know what, we're going to direct you, young Chad, and we are going to protect all the people from young Chad, and we're going to make sure that we drive your car, even though you think you're driving your car. It works the same way in our lives, folks. You see, it's the same thing. Pastor Tony Evans says this, many of us are driving the steering wheel of our own life and shouldn't be. We are crossing the line, swerving, and going out into the ditch because we're out of control. God stands available to take the keys of our life and drive us home. He can take us from here to eternity safely and on time. But He's got to have control of the wheel. He must be in charge. You see, today my prayer for all of us is this, that we'll put God in charge. You know, He'll let us sit in the seat, and that's fine. But we have to understand that it's God who put steel in the track. It's God who put the governor on the accelerator. It's God who says, you know what? You can feel like you're driving, but just trust me to do the driving. And when we do this, you're going to see how different your lives function and feel. You're going to feel that your lives are going in another direction, a better direction, and it will end well. This is what God promises for His people, that we will reach our desired destination because it's God's destination. This is what God wants for us. You see, God has a special way of putting His righteous people in the right place at the right time if we let Him. In this regard, we should be like the Apostle Paul, who said in Colossians 1, verse 9, he says, since we first heard about you, we have kept on praying and asking God to help you understand what he wants you to do. Do you want to do what God has chosen you to do? Do you sit out there today and say, I don't even know if I'm working in the right place? I don't know that this is the right job. Am I changing people? Am I impacting people? Am I helping people? Or am I going through life as just one of those depressed, upset people? You see, if you feel like that God has called you to do something else, this is what you're going to do. You're going to think about it, pray about it. You're going to seek him and ask him, and then you're going to yield to him, and you're going to do what he tells you to do, and that will come directly from him. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul thanked Jesus for choosing him. What has he chosen you to do? What has he chosen you to do? Folks, I can assure you the night that I was called to become a pastor, I fought with God all night. I begged him. I begged him. Do you think I wanted to do this? I didn't want to do this. I fought this. I never, ever assumed that I would ever be here today doing this. I remember telling my wife, I hope this is not what he's calling me to do because I don't want to do this. God's will. It's God's will for me to be here doing this. What else? Isaiah 45, 15 and 18 says, truly, O God of Israel, you work in strange and mysterious ways. $1,470 worth of strange and mysterious ways. For God created the heavens and earth and put everything in its place. What about us? Are we in the right place? Are we going to work at the right place? Are we called to go to school in that right place? Have you questioned your place? Psalm 31, 14 and 15. I am trusting you, O Lord. You alone are my God. My times are in your hands. Have you given God the time? He said, God, I'll subscribe. I'll adhere to your time. It's not about my time. Are we walking and working and worshiping and ultimately waiting for God to direct us at his prescribed time in his desired place to receive our next blessing and remove our life misunderstanding? Ephesians 5:17, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to. Will his will be done? You see, pride and self-will destroys lives. And so here's what we have to do. We have to allow him to guide and direct and steer our lives. Are you willing to give him the wheel? Because I promise you this, if that happens, our end result, the end of our lives, will mean that it will end well. Right place, right person, right time. Let's sing No Longer Slaves, a song that we have sung before. All right, Jada, what'd you think of that, sweetie? Every time that comes on our car, she gets so, she's like, don't turn it! She was back there just belting out vocals. They love when he starts yelling. That's their favorite part. So he had to get her keyed up for that. All right. So before we close today, folks, you know, we are amidst people, amidst good, righteous people who have made great decisions, who have seen things happen according to God's will. Steve Sloan, you were without a job. You found a great job. But all the time, Steve kept saying, I just want to do what God wants me to do. This man was plugged into God's will. Julie, we know what's going on with you. I think of Kara. Kara was working in Fisher, Illinois, driving all the way over to Fisher. Now she's in Hayworth. She's the FFA ag teacher at Hayworth. And it just worked out. You're in the right place at the right time. I look at all of you folks and where you're at and what you've done and how you've gotten to where you're going to be. And Griffin, you're next, man. I know you're looking at this saying, what do I do in school? What am I supposed to be? This is for you. God will reveal it to you. We've just got to be yielded to his will. And every day, not just on Sunday and not just today, every day, just ask him, God, is this where you want me to be right now? Is this what you want me to do? And he will reveal it to you. That I promise. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today, the right place at the right time for every person that's gathered here today. For those who needed to hear this, I think we all need to hear this. Help us to use this to move forward in our lives. Help us, I pray, to go and work at the place that you want us to work. I pray that you'll help us to go and put us in the school where you want us to learn. I pray that you'll put us in the relationships where you want us to grow. And I ask every day that we will ask, God, what is your will for me? Because thy will be done. And we ask this according to your will. Keep us safe today, we pray. Help us in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.